The reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Matt needn't have worried about singing a Christmas song. I did ask him to put in a Christmas carol or two, because it's still Christmas. For another 13 hours, this is the last day of Christmas. Then after today, we start working back towards next Christmas. I actually came across a website while I was getting ready for this sermon, which has a countdown counter on it. It says this: there are only 365 days, and it's counting down, so it would now be 12 hours and 28 minutes until next Christmas. So hopefully you're starting to do your shopping and get ready, because there's only 353 days. In the old days, it would have said 301 shopping days, but now every day is a shopping day. So 353 days left till Christmas. However, before we start thinking about Christmas 29, we need to remember that Christmas 2018 isn't over yet. Today's the 12th day of Christmas, the last day of Christmas, the day when my true love gave to me 12 drummers drumming. And it's also known as the Feast of the Epiphany, where we celebrate the arrival of the Magi, of the wise men. The word epiphany is a Greek word which means appearance or to be revealed. And it celebrates the revelation of Jesus as the incarnate Son of God to the whole world. He's the Son of God, he's the Savior for the whole world, not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles as well, the wise men coming who recognize Jesus for who he is. Because the Feast of the Epiphany is also is this idea of revelation of who Jesus is, it's also the day when many churches around the world celebrate the baptism of Jesus, where the voice from heaven says, "This is my Son," where it reveals who Jesus is. "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." For that reason, many churches around the world use today, the 6th of January, to renew their baptism vows. And then as a result of that, in recent years, Methodist churches and then more recently Baptist churches as well, renew their covenant and commitment in terms of their baptismal vows, which we're going to do in a little while, but also their commitment and their covenant to one another. And so we have our covenant service on this Sunday each year, where we recommit ourselves to the Lord, to his church, and to one another as the fellowship of Christ in this place. So in both services today, there's going to be an act of covenant, the annual act of covenant. And as we do that, we're going to look at this story of the wise men or the magi who come to visit Jesus in Matthew chapter 2. And as we've heard, Matthew tells us that the first visitors in Matthew's version of the story, the first visitors who come to worship the newborn king are these foreigners from the east, these magi. Of course, in Luke's version, we have the shepherds who come first. But for Matthew, it's all about the magi. And whenever you see a difference like that between two gospel accounts, you have to ask, what's the writer trying to convey? What is it the writer's trying to say? Did Matthew not know about the shepherds? Well, it's not that. It's that he's trying to convey something else in his message. He's trying to get over to us something different. Matthew calls these visitors, although we've started calling them in recent years the three kings. We don't know how many there were, but we've called them kings. But Matthew calls them magi, or magi, or magos, which is actually a Persian word that he imports into the Greek for people who were magicians, who were prophets, who were interpreters of dreams. If you remember from our series in Daniel just before Christmas, when the King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, he sends for the magicians, he sends for the wise men, for the magi, who come and he asks them to interpret his dream. So these are foreigners, the magi that come to visit Jesus. They're foreigners, probably from Persia, maybe even from the Babylonian area. And they come and they bring these gifts from the east, gifts that are very typically thought of us from being from the Saudi Arabia and the Arabian Peninsula. Gold and frankincense and myrrh, echoes of the gifts that the Queen of Sheba had brought to David when she came to visit him. So Matthew's telling us that the first people to come and worship Jesus are these foreigners, Gentiles, magicians. But he's also trying to tell us in that something else. Matthew, as you know, starts his gospel with this long genealogy, where he's trying to prove just who Jesus is. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the descendant of David. He's the one that we've been waiting for. Everyone in Israel knew that the Messiah was going to be born in the line of David. And Matthew tells us that in his genealogy, look, Jesus is this descendant of David. And more than that, he's born in David's city, as he tells us at the beginning of the reading we had today. Born in Bethlehem, royal David's city. Now, what you've got to remember is this. Matthew is writing to a Jewish audience. He's writing to Israel. He's writing to Jewish believers. When Luke writes his gospel and his version of the Nativity, he's writing to the Greeks. He's writing to the Romans. He's writing to Gentiles, non-Jews. But Matthew is writing for the Jews. That's why he spends so much time on the fulfillment of prophecy and genealogies and who Jesus was, the Messiah, the Anointed One, coming from God. And Matthew's writing to the Jews. And he's keen to show that Jesus is this long-awaited Messiah. So he's writing to Jews, but what he's saying is, you know what? It wasn't Jews who were the first to come and worship Jesus. The first people to see the king are not God's chosen people. The first people to see the king are foreigners, outsiders, people from far away. And this would have been scandalous. Surely the king of the Jews is for the Jews. What are these Gentiles doing? These foreigners, these people from the east. So why is Matthew doing it? What is it that he's trying to say? And the first thing I want to highlight is this. Something that we can learn about it for today. Is it's a reminder. A reminder right at the beginning of the Christmas story. And a reminder right at the beginning of the year as we celebrate Epiphany and as we start in this first Sunday of the new year. It's a reminder of our purpose as God's people, is always to be witnesses to the good news about Jesus Christ. Our calling as the people of God is always to be a missionary people. The King of the Jews came, and who is it he reveals himself to? It's those who are not God's people. It's those who are outside. It's a missional purpose. You know, the Vineyard Churches, who I'm a big fan of the Vineyard Churches, I'm a huge fan of what they have to do. But their purpose statement says that the church, purpose of the church is to worship God. And I think they're wrong. Worshipping God is something we do while we wait for him to return. Our purpose is to be a witnessing people, a missionary people, a people who share good news. The Westminster Catechism says that man's chief end is to glorify God and worship him and enjoy him forever. But I think the chief aim of the church, of the people of God, is to be a missional people, to share good news with those who are outside the fold. In order to worship God forever and ever in heaven, people need to hear the good news. People need to be able to call on God to be saved, that they may enjoy him forever. Paul says to the church in Romans 10, how can they call on one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? What's Matthew saying? Matthew is saying, listen, this good news about the King of the Jews, this good news about the Messiah, this good news about the one who fulfills all the prophecy, is that he's for all people, and we need to share him with all people. It's not just for us. It's not just for us to come together in our holy huddles and sing songs of worship. It's about spreading that message. You know, when God first chose Israel as his chosen nation, before they were in fact a nation, when he chose the Jews to be his chosen nation, he said to Abraham, go from your country. I want you to go. Go and your people and your father's household and take them all to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. I'm choosing you. I'm choosing your family. I'm choosing your people. But the purpose of that is that we can bless all people on earth. Later on, God says to him, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I'm the God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. As for me, this is my covenant for to you. You will be the father of many nations. Abraham, as I establish the Jews as my chosen people, the purpose is that all people on earth might come to hear about me through you. That I'll establish many nations through you. When the people were being brought back from exile, Isaiah said, it's far too small a thing for me just to restore the Jewish nation. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. Why did God choose us to be his people? Why did he choose the Jews to be his people? Why has he chosen the church now to his people? That we may witness to the ends of the earth. Matthew begins in Matthew 2 with Gentiles coming from the east and hearing about Jesus. It ends in Matthew 28 with the command to go into all the world and preach good news. Our job primarily in this year, as it is in every year, is to be a missional people, to share good news. The visit of the Magi is a reminder that God calls us to share our faith, every one of us. Our calling in 2019 is not just to be a worshipping people, though I hope we do that even more. It's not just to be a loving people who care for one another, though I hope we do that more than more. It's not just to be a compassionate people, looking after the poor and the needy, though I hope we do that more and more. It's to take good news to the very ends of the earth, and especially to those around us. And the second thing I think Matthew wants to remind us is the type of people we are called to witness to. It's not always the easiest people, the ones who are easiest to get along with, that we're called to take good news to. In theological college, we were taught, and training ministers are still taught today, something called the homogeneous growth principle. And what this theory says is it's easy to grow a church if you just have one type of person in it. If you just have young people, then it's really easy to grow a church of more and more young people. if you just have a church of majority black people, it's easier to attract more and more black people. If you have a Chinese or an Asian church, then it's easier to have to grow it with more and more Chinese. The homogenous growth principle says decide who it is you want to go to join your church and get those people to come along, and it's easier to get other folk like them to join along. And there's something basically wrong with that, I think, which is that God calls us to be a diverse people. He calls us to be a people who are integrated, multicultural, to go to the people who are different from us, who it might be difficult even to get along with. He calls shepherds to worship the newborn king, the outsiders. He calls magi to worship the newborn king, who are outsiders, foreigners, Gentiles. They've got different gods. And they worship alongside Joseph the righteous and Mary the pure. As I said at the carol service, shepherds weren't very nice people, but they get invited into the story. Magi were sorcerers, astrologers, wizards, people that good Jews would have nothing to do with. The Old Testament warns you, stay away from these folk, have nothing to do with them, it's an abomination. And they're the first people that come to worship the king. I think when you look through the scriptures, what you see is that God's purpose is that there's this multicultural, diverse, varied people. You know, in the New Testament, the only other time that magi get mentioned is in Acts 13, where the sorcerer Elymas tries to oppose Paul's preaching on Cyprus. And Paul says to him, filled with the Holy Spirit, he says, you're a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You're full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the way of the Lord? There's a way to influence people and win friends. And they're the people who get invited, the ones who the Jews wouldn't normally invite in. My point is this, the Magi were the bad guys, but they get invited in to worship Jesus. You know, it's very easy to exclude those who are different to us. It's very easy to decide those people aren't good enough. We don't want them in here. But we're called to go to all people. To middle class and educated people, to poor and uneducated people, to people who live holy and pure lifestyles as far as we're concerned, to people who are sinners, to drug addicts and drunks, to scholars and doctors. We're called to go to all people. A diverse people drawn together. A couple of years ago, a person came to worship with us who was different to normal people who come to Tabernacle, who had all sorts of personal challenges and difficulties in their life. And they weren't very confident about coming into church. In fact, they were terrified of coming into church. And one of the ways that they got themselves to be able to come to church and accept an invitation, I think it was John Squires probably invited them, was that they'd bring their dog with them. You remember, she had a tiny little dog, and she'd carry it inside her coat, wrapped up, and in the middle of service, the dog would pop up sometimes and appear, and it was kind of like a comfort blanket for her. It was her friend that she was able to bring to church. And I got asked, what's the policy on dogs? And what I said was, well, my policy on dogs is that any dog can come as long as they've got an unsaved person with them. Because we want to reach that kind of person too. People in the church, one or two people in the church, were more concerned about what our policy was than they were about whether that person was going to get to know Jesus. Here was somebody coming to us, asking questions, wanted to know more, and one or two folk made them not very welcome. I think Jesus might have some questions for us on the day of judgment about that one. Lord, Lord, when did I see you a stranger and invite you in? When I have my dog with me, the Lord will say. What's my point? My point is this. We're called to be diverse, to welcome the outsider, the different, the stranger, however uncomfortable that might be. And then finally, the whole Christmas story. In so many ways, and particularly the story of Epiphany, reminds us that God is God and we're not. And he's going to do it his way. He's not always going to do it the way that we want. But we need to be continually open to the possibility of being continually surprised by God. He always does things differently to how I would. He always seems to do things differently to how we might go about it. Everything about the birth of the King of the Jews was wrong. The Magi came looking for a king. So where did they go? Well, they went to a royal palace. That's where you look for kings. That's where kings lived. They looked for a prince in the palace, but they didn't find him there because God was doing things differently. If I was writing the story of the birth of a king, he'd be born in a palace and laid on a bed of gold. He'd be surrounded by the best doctors in the best hospital, the cleanest hospital, somewhere maybe like St. Mary's in London, where princes get born. He would have had the best of everything, surrounded by nobility, visited by other kings. But in the upside-down kingdom of God, the king gets born illegitimately as far as the world is concerned, to an unmarried teenage mother. He's laid on a bed of straw in a manger, visited by dirty old shepherds and sinful foreigners. And then he's hunted by the king who tries to put him to death. God does things differently to how we might arrange them. God does things in an upside-down way. And we need to be open to the possibility always that God's going to do things in a surprising way. He's going to catch us out with his way of doing things. What will 2019 bring? I have no idea. Because he's the God of surprises. I know what he did in 2018. I know what he did in 2017. I know what he's done in the last 20 years in this church. That doesn't mean he's going to do it the same way next year. I know the kind of people that he's brought and the kind of people who've joined us. That doesn't mean they're going to be the same next year. Because he's the God of surprises. We need to be open continually to the God of surprises. Because he's God and he's in charge. And you know what? I like it that way. Because it actually turns out his way is better than ours anyway. Amen. May now the God who has promised never to leave you or forsake you be with you and those you love this day and this whole year. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, both now and forevermore. Amen. Let's close by saying together the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.